Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Before we start on today's teaching, I want to thank the over 1,000 people who wished my father a happy 92nd birthday yesterday.
That's a blessing.
It was a good day for Mr. Harrell and for those who know him and love him. Have you ever wondered why you aren't accomplishing more? When we kind of begin to think back about why we didn't do this or why that didn't work, the very first thought of our flesh will usually come up with an excuse. All we need to do is begin making excuses, and the devil is ever ready to jump in and help us out.
Isn't that the truth?
Don't give him the satisfaction.
In Hebrews 12, verses 12 and 13, Hebrews 12, 12 and 13 in the Message Bible kind of stirred our spirit when we read this. It says, don't sit around on your hands. No more dragging your feet. Clear the path for long-distance runners so no one will trip and fall, so no one will step in a hole and sprain an ankle. Help each other out and run for it. There you go.
I love the Message Bible. What would make people sit on their hands and drag their feet? It happens when they make excuses. As we've pointed out before, the American Heritage Dictionary says an excuse is the act of justification. Before we make any excuses, we need to check out what Proverbs 24:11, what it says.
That's right. Proverbs 24:11 in the Message Bible says, rescue the perishing. Don't hesitate to step in and help. If you say, hey, that's none of my business, will that get you off the hook? Someone is watching you closely, you know. Someone not impressed with weak excuses.
Wow. What's a weak excuse? Anything that suggests the power of God in your faith can't overcome any obstacle. Here's an absolute fact. Select successful people make plans. Unsuccessful people make excuses.
Wow. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10 in the Message Bible, it says, don't you remember the rule we had when we lived with you? If you don't work, you don't eat. And now we're getting reports that a bunch of lazy good-for-nothings are taking advantage of you. This must not be tolerated. We command them to get to work immediately. No excuses, no arguments, and earn their own keep. Friends, don't slack off in doing your duty. Notice, honey, even that with doing your duty, it is telling people to get up and take responsibility for
themselves. That's exactly right. We spend our lives looking for excuses. We'll never have time to find answers to our problems.
Think about that.
Or for that matter, have time for anything else. Hallelujah. People with excuses will never be remembered for what they did or even what they could have done. Today, on this call, we're going to examine 6 excuses to tend to hold believers back from being financial wise stewards. Excuse number 1, I don't have time. You'll always make time for what you want to do. Not taking the time to plan wisely costs big time in the end. A schedule may be harried and overcommitted, but making and gaining financial wisdom should be a priority. By the way, you have the same amount of time President Trump, or the wealthiest people in the world. The only question is, what do you do with it? Do a time inventory to understand why you're spending your time, where you're spending your time now, I should say, so that you can make a wise decision on redirecting your priorities.
Excuse number 2, I don't make enough money. What's the first thing you pay when you get your paycheck? If the answer is your mortgage or your car note or your credit cards, you're probably buying into this excuse. One reason many people don't think they have enough money to save or put away is because they don't know where their money is going or how much money they're spending on items they don't really need. People like to say, money just goes through my fingers, or I don't know what happened to it. I can tell you that people, there are times in our lives when if money talked, all it said was goodbye. A lot of people feel that way. Some people feel they don't make enough money because they fail to tithe, which then closes the windows of heaven over them. Wow. After we get paid, we need to write our tithe and offering checks first, regardless of whether it's Sunday or not. Because in Malachi 3, verses 8 through 11, we talk about, God talks about, sometimes we talk about it, but God talks about, if you're robbing God, you will not have and never have enough money.
That's so true. Excuse number three. I'll do that tomorrow, next week, or next year. Ecclesiastes 11:4 in the Living Bible. If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. Now, today, this is the time to start saving at whatever level you can. Never despise small beginnings. Actually, it's easier and more beneficial to save when you're younger. But if you're not younger, still not too late. Because listen, here's what happens. As you start younger, it's a fact that as you get older, bad habits can make it harder to change. By then, you don't have the benefit of time, which is one of the great factors in successful wealth accumulation.
Amen.
As an example, someone who starts saving $100 a month at age 20, earning 7% interest, will have about $380,000 at retirement age. Someone who waits until age 35 to start will only have $122,000. Think about it.
Excuse number four, I deserve a break today. And that's not just women. Men say that too. If you buy something with money you don't have, you're not getting a lasting financial break, but a temporary little fix or band-aid to the problems you're facing. You can create a separate account for various savings goals, including occasional indulgences. But the purpose of having a healthy savings plan is not to always deny yourself the pleasure of having things. There are moments while you save for emergencies or retirement and give to others, and there's times when you should give yourself a little reward. Just break, make sure that your break doesn't wreck your finances.
True. Number five, someone else will take care of it. A spouse may take it. It's not my responsibility attitude towards savings. But understand, marriage is a partnership of using all money wisely. A husband brings home the bacon, but he expects his wife to handle it responsibly, or vice versa. Being on the same page financially helps him know that she will not be spending money. In the same way, a wife doesn't need to be worried every time her husband leaves the house that he's going to get pulled into some money-spending activity or get-rich scheme. It's a great thing at the end of the day to have a peaceful heart and home, especially when it comes to money.
Amen. Excuse six. God is my source. And yes, he is. God is your source. But we need to be reminded that he's the one who gives you the power to gain wealth, not just throw yourself to the wind and go, oh, God will take care of it. He helps us and develops a plan within us to make the plan work. To live without wisdom and forethought is not prudent planning. God's word is filled with promises that are usually followed by if, indicating there are conditions to the promise. So the point is, are you in condition? Spending can be addictive, but saving can be too. Once you stop making excuses, you'll start seeing your money add up. At that point, something interesting will happen. After a few months of seeing the difference, it becomes a game for the whole family. If we sow excuses, regardless of even how valid they may seem at the time, we will never reap a harvest of financial blessings. Sometimes excuses are made with the most absurd logic. You'd be amazed at the number of believers who use it as an excuse for a failure to plan or a failure to implement their plan. Mark 9:23 in the Message Bible says, Jesus said, if, there's no ifs among believers, anything can happen. And God wants to bring us out, but we need to not just trust him. We need to work the word and do what he said.
That's right. And honey, unfortunately, too many believers use if as an excuse. Those who live by the excuse will ultimately fail by the excuse they've given. If I just knew what to do or how to do it, nothing comes easy. Good things are hard to come by. You get what you paid for. You get out of it what you put in it. If I knew something would come up or something always happens to keep me from getting ahead. See, there's all kinds of excuses. Let's break them down. Nothing comes easy. If it did, everyone could and would be doing it. Good things are hard to come by. If you're expecting something to just somebody just to hand everything to you without an effort on your part, not happening.
And you get what you pay for, but most people aren't willing to pay the price. You get out of it what you put into it. That's true. But God can multiply your efforts and make them great.
If I knew something would come up, well, see, that sounds to me like you just put the welcome mat out for procrastination and trouble.
Sometimes always happens to keep me, or maybe I should put it this way. There's always something that keeps me from getting ahead. What we need to do is figure out what is causing that stumbling block and deal with it.
I don't know what to do. Simply means you've been asking the wrong people for help. There should never be ifs or excuses among believers. If for no other reason than what we read in Mark 9:23. The enemy uses excuses to prevent each of us from becoming the leader God wants us to be. Can we all agree that excuses are not of God? There comes a point in life when we become accountable for our own lives. Simply because we realize that our excuses don't cut it anymore. We believe this is that day, the point where you say, all of us say, no more excuses. And one last thing. We want to say, we want to say it's the enemy, the devil, Satan himself. We blame him. But here's the point. We make the excuse. We make the excuse. So if you feel like the enemy's doing all that, just put your foot on his head. The day for excuses is over.
Amen.
And that's a good way to be on a fantastic Friday.
That's right.
Hallelujah. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. Check out this week's 2-minute video. And if you've been blessed, click that button that says sow a seed and sow what God tells you to do. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.